the craziest things I've done is buy a trapeze for some entertainment.
Oh, man.
Make of that what you will.
Make of that what you will. Well, why are we doing? Why are we here?
We are here talking about the very first seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette on our podcast, Batch Please. Welcome.
Welcome. I'm Allison Gunnell.
I'm Evan Delaney.
And we're excited to talk about where it all began, where this whole show started. And
when we were 7 years old, roughly, seven or eight.
Yes. So this will be the first time that I actually have not seen, I didn't watch either of these seasons since I was in, you know, first, second grade when they happened.
Yeah, I was watching Pokemon at the time, right. So not really the same vibe for me.
Yeah, did not watch these. So it was really interesting. Interesting to see. A lot has changed and a lot has stayed the same, both.
Yeah. So the very first, the OG Bachelor is Alex Michelle.
Yep, Alex Michelle.
What do you think about him? What's his deal?
I don't know. It felt really random. I wanted them to go into more detail about, like, how he became the Bachelor.
Yeah, I wanted to know that, too, because I feel like, I'm sure they had the premise kind of laid out. Like, they already knew they wanted to do the show.
And from then on, like, it was like, okay, Trista came from his season, and then Bob Guinea came from, he was the Bachelor from Trista's season, and, like, so on and so on.
This is kind of the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, so it was like,
not to be confused with Sheldon and the gang.
Right. But it was like, where did they get this guy from? And I was reading about him. He's had a fascinating life.
All right, go into detail. I'm
like, okay, let me pull it up. I should have pulled it up already.
Pull it up. That's okay.
Give me a sec.
Look, we're all struggling during these times, Allison. While you're looking that up, the one thing I do want to say, and seeing like clips from older seasons, is my God, were there the fashion?
Oh, my God. Well, Chris Harrison had a suit 17 sizes too big for him.
So there's the 2003 NBA draft is, like, iconic for having just the most ridiculous oversized suits. And that just reminded me. And it was, like, the entire wardrobe from the season was taken from
that
draft.
And I don't care what anyone says. Chris Harrison hasn't aged.
No.
He looks exactly
the same. He's like a Paul Rudd type where
he's
just,
exactly
like,
the same.
And honestly, well, we'll get to it for Trista's season, but he was probably one of the more attractive guys involved
in
Trista's
season.
Yes,
and it was wild that he was like, Chris Harrison was like, yeah, my son here was like 6 months old when I started this job 18 years ago. I'm like, that is wild.
Well, he was probably the same or roughly the same age as Alex when that all first began.
Probably.
Wouldn't have been weird if he was younger.
That would have been weird, but maybe he was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weird. Okay, so all right, Alex
Michelle. Give me the details.
So I know that in high school, okay, where everyone's high school, he was the valedictorian, student body president, homecoming king, and captain of the swim team.
Okay.
He was
shout out swim team.
All around dude. Then he went to Harvard.
Okay.
And he was on swimming and he was water polo and did all this stuff. Then he spent a summer interning in the office, the executive office of the president of the United States.
Oh wow.
Then
was this the Clinton, the first Bush administration?
Would have been first Bush.
Okay.
Okay, and then after college, he worked in the U.S. Embassy in Mexico, and then became a documentary travel video producer, and traveled all around the world. And then later went back to school and got an MBA at Stanford, and then became a television producer.
So what I want to know is, how does this underachiever, how does this bozo get to court 20 women on TV?
And so I'm trying to look up, like, where did this guy come from? Because I want to know more, and really all it said was that a friend at Harvard Business School sent him an email and said, hey, I saw this posting about auditions for this new reality show where a dude gets to pick a wife out of these contestants.
Yeah.
And that's where it started.
That's interesting.
So I wish that they would have talked more about that last night. Or not last night. I watched it last night, but on Monday when it came out. Because I wanted to know more. Because it's so random. And everyone's like, who the heck is Alex Michelle?
Yeah, sort of the butterfly effect, like what would have happened if someone else was picked?
Right.
I mean, the whole domino effect, because, you know, after this season, it kind of became people who were on previous seasons. This could have changed the entire trajectory of it all.
Yeah.
This is
absolutely
fascinating.
It is fascinating. I want to look at like a tree
of
like who came from every season. Like I want to like see it laid
out. I'm sure
like
that exists.
I'm going to look into it.
Okay. So what are we seeing, I guess, from this first season that either is different, similar to the current franchise? What's your observation?
Well, it seemed, at least from the beginning, that it seemed to be narrowed down pretty quickly.
Okay.
Like, that first night, he narrowed it down pretty immediately to, like, a smaller group. And it was only 5 weeks, so I think it was a shorter session. Like,
yeah.
It was only a 5 weeks thing. it was interesting how everyone came out of the limo or whatever, and they all shook hands.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? A lot of handshaking.
Yeah.
Versus hugging. And also seemed like public displays of affection in these beginning seasons were, like, way less. Like, there was, like, not a lot of kissing, and there was, like, oh, we're not going to kiss on the first date, when now it's, like, well, you better kiss on your first one-on-one. That's how it goes.
I think it was so experimental, and people didn't really know how to do it. And it's, you know, there's seasons and seasons now of evidence of, you know, this is how this works. This is usually a formula to make it pretty far. So, like, no one had that going into it. So that was interesting, too.
It seemed very formal. And just in general, it all kind of seemed a little more formal than usual.
Yeah.
Just and a little awkward. Like, obviously now it's, like, a very formulaic situation. But I feel like being the first season, it felt awkward. Like, all of these people did not know how to act in the situation.
Yeah. Is it me or were the rose stems about 6 feet
long? Yes. Oh, my God. They were so long. And it's interesting, too, because, like, now it's like everybody knows what a rose ceremony is. That's the whole thing. But in this first episode of this first season, Chris Harrison just plops some roses down and is like,
"You're probably wondering what these are for."
Here you go. Like,
yeah,
it was weird.
That was interesting. I totally agree with your point on, you know, they didn't really know what they were doing. Everything was very formal. I also thought, going back to Alex a little bit, like, there was a heavy emphasis on, like, what he does, like, his whole career.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't get that as much anymore.
No.
You know, we kind of had it with Peter. They really dug into the fact that he was a pilot.
Oh, yeah.
It
depends on how interesting or not the career of the person is. Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows Peter is a pilot, but, like, could you tell me, like, everybody knows Colton was a football player.
Well,
but, like,
hardly.
Well, kind of. But, like, nobody really knows, like, what any other Bachelor really was.
Yeah, like, I think, like, Ben Higgins was, like, software sales.
Yeah, and Nick Viall, I think, was the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, which I guess, like, that's not the sexiest occupation. But I think just the accolades of Harvard, Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that adds a little bit of juice to his resume.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so the very first group date, I think, was just like,
so
how do you navigate those territories?
So awkward. And I feel like for all of them, for Alex, for all the girls, they were like, what is this? What did I sign up to do here?
Yeah.
And it was weird. And I don't know. It was just, everything felt a little awkward.
Yeah. Which I enjoyed. Like, I like watching
the awkwardness. Well, it's really interesting just to see how much that show has developed.
Yeah.
And how also interesting that the words on the date or on the fantasy suite cards are the exact same. That has been the same line. If you choose to forgo your individual rooms,
that's a timeless
blah blah
classic,
blah.
Though.
Like, that has been on every single fantasy suite card of every single.
I mean, that's
season.
Almost Shakespearean. You can't get
right,
rid of that.
Right? No, you can't.
So they didn't really go in. I feel like they went more into, like, how things unfolded as opposed to, like, here are some of the women. But they did go into, I would say, like, three or four.
Yeah.
Women a little bit.
I think
bit.
The focus of these was much more of, like, how the show began and where it came from versus, like, individual people.
Yeah. One person who I thought was interesting, I guess she's kind of the first villain of sorts, was Rhonda.
Yeah.
And she coined now, like, the famous phrase, "I'm not here to make friends," which is, like, a name of a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Not one you should listen to.
Right.
Every other one's trash.
Yeah. No, she literally did. She was, like, the first quote-unquote villain of the franchise.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just looking at my notes. I'm just, like, seeing random things here. The sitting down on the rose ceremonies. Like, a lot of them were sitting down.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
That was so weird. Interesting.
Yeah, that was very
Because that's just weirdly casual.
That was
for
really
what we
weird.
Now know is a very dramatic.
Also, it was weird that Chris Harrison stood for there for, like, everything.
Yeah.
Did you notice that he was, like, standing there for every single rose to be given? And usually he isn't.
Yeah.
He comes in, like, the last one.
I wonder when that switched. Like, I wonder when he was like, I'm just going to.
He was present for, like, everything.
One. Yeah.
Eventually, he's probably like, I don't even be here for this.
I feel like his screen time is diminishing each and every season.
Yeah, and I bet his pockets are getting
pockets
bigger.
Bad as hell.
Are getting bigger and bigger. He doesn't have to be there for most of it. He's just.
Yeah. So,
the voice.
So one person, going back to the fantasy suite, so one person who sort of denied the whole notion of it was Shannon.
Yeah, she was very anti the whole thing. And that caused a pretty big rift in that relationship. And Alex Michelle was kind of like, look, like, if you're not going to open up to me,
yeah,
then I don't want to pursue this. And he kind of said it was like a kind of a cycle of, like, she didn't want to open up until he, like, confirmed that she was really, like, one of the, you know, ones he liked the best, but he didn't want to confirm that until she opened up. So it was kind of a weird
I think cycle. They were both you get this a lot in the show where I feel like both parties are kind of right, especially in this situation. It's so new. I think knowing now how the franchise operates, I don't think Shannon would ever apply to this show.
No, I don't think so either.
It did not seem like her jam.
But in that time, it's like no one even knew what the show was. And it's really interesting. So, like, they didn't even know if it would get picked up and air on TV at the time.
Yeah.
But also, like, now you know what you're getting yourself into. But, like, back then it was, like, people probably thought it was weird to, like, make out with someone in a hot tub when cameras were watching you.
Even
and,
when,
like,
cameras aren't watching you.
Yeah, but, like, people were probably like, what is this? Now it's like, well, that's the show. But back, you know, in 2002 or whatever, it was probably like, I'm not going to make out with this person I just met 1 week ago on camera in my bikini in the hot tub. Like, that's weird.
Yeah. She was also, so when she didn't get a rose, she left and very formal handshake.
Handshake, yes.
And then kind of came back and, like, why wasn't it me? And, you know, he gave the explanation that you touched upon earlier.
Yeah.
And Meth, I just, like I said, I don't think she was made for this world.
No. And I will say, too, I love so much that they, like, showed all these people now and, like, where they're at in their lives.
She doesn't look like
everything.
She's aged a bit either, though.
No, barely any of these people do. But I think it's fascinating because if you think, I mean, they were all, like, 24, 25, 26 when this happened, and now they're all in their 40s.
Yeah.
With families and, you know, all sorts of different stuff going on. I really love getting to see that. Like, I love them being like, oh, yeah, like, haha, I shook his hand. That was silly. Because they were, like, 24. Like, it's interesting when you watch the ones that happened in, like, the past few years seasons, a little more fresh. Mm-hmm. But these people are, like, this happened 20 years ago. I've been married for 15 years and have 3 kids and whatever. And it's really interesting to see.
Yeah. So the winner of that season, we'll say, was Amanda.
So it's interesting that the very, very first season did not end in a proposal.
I never knew that that was the case.
And I wonder if that was, like, a worry for the franchise and ABC of, like, oh, my God, like, people watch, they're going to want to see people get engaged. So if this isn't going to work out, like,
because
I mean, it was also weird as hell. He showed her a ring. He showed her a ring and said, I'm going to hold on to this.
Which I kind of appreciate.
But don't show her the ring. That ruins the whole proposal that you may do that later, that you just showed her the ring.
I guess. I don't know. I don't think he made a wrong move there.
I mean, I don't think by not getting engaged, like, I think if you would have been like, look, I want to be with you, mm-hmm. and I want to give you this final rose, but, like, let's date first.
Yeah.
But, like, to show her the ring was weird, I thought.
Yeah. I definitely think that Amanda was probably the most eccentric personality that we saw.
Yeah, I agree.
She was the one who had the trapeze, which seemed to be for sex acts, which, hey, cool, man.
He was very intrigued by that. Yeah.
We support it.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately did not work out between those two.
No, and I think they were together for about a year, and then they showed her, and she said that she ended up, like, turning down offers from Playboy. She, like, you know,
she said Playboy and other entertainment, which makes me think, like, was she offered to do porn?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
I don't know if that's the case or not, but man,
that's exactly what I thought when she said that.
That would really be kind of a
interesting
a smear on the Bachelor Nation.
Yeah.
They ended up going to porn.
Yeah.
I guess.
So that was interesting. But then she ended up getting a job on, like, as a radio DJ in her back in hometown of, I think she said
in Kansas.
Or Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
No.
Just Kansas.
Oh, Kansas. Okay. And so then she moved back and they dated for a while long distance, and it just didn't work out.
So what was interesting was that she said that she really hasn't heard from him in six years. And homeboy's been kind of
apparently he's like
silent.
Missing.
Yeah.
Basically, Chris Harrison is, like, on the hunt for Alex Michelle. He said they've tried to get a hold of him several times over the years.
Yeah, his face is on milk
cartons. He doesn't have social media.
Yeah.
He is, like, very far from the public eye, and she said that she had ran into him or seen him or talked to him 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think he works somewhere in DC now, but I think that's all I know.
Yeah, it was really weird. It's like, he's missing from the franchise, like, doesn't want to be found to be part of this, which is kind of weird. I mean, as the first one, I don't know if maybe he, like, just released himself from that identity years and years ago and, like, doesn't want to be part of the Bachelor franchise or known for it.
Yeah, I think that's right to think that you would think at some point that you kind of want to like,
yeah, I'm surprised,
buy into it again.
I'm surprised he didn't, at least just for an interview of like that first season. It was kind of, I would have liked to hear from him. Like, I would have liked to see an interview.
It would have been so interesting.
It would have been so interesting. But apparently he's missing. So if anyone knows about what Alex and Michelle is up to these days.
Yeah, please call the local authorities, those being ABC and Chris Harrison.
So really quick, before we move on to the Bachelorette first season, I want to talk about the really awkward interview with Cassie.
Oh, God. What a waste of time.
So there's a bunch of weird interviews with, like, Nicole and some, who was it?
Demi.
Which about
I don't
fashion.
Even talk about. That was a waste of time.
Silly. I mean, that was weird. But he did an interview with Cassie, and it was so uncomfortable. And I felt really bad for her because I follow her on Instagram, and she posted about this. And was like, they asked me if I would do an interview, and she told them, I will, but I am not talking about my breakup with Colton, about why we broke up, about any of that. Like, that is private. Colton's not going to be in this interview. Like, I'm not doing that. And right off the bat, they were like, asked about it. But she said what also bothered her was that they talked a lot about other things that's going on in her life in the interview and didn't air any of it.
Yeah.
They only talked about the breakup. Well, they super, super awkward.
They had the juicy soundbite that they wanted to get, that kind of like, tease people, oh, she's going to talk about Colton. She obviously didn't.
Yeah, and she said, like, I'm nervous. And Chris Harrison was almost kind of pushing her a little too hard, I felt, when he was like, well, I mean, yeah, you guys were having relationship issues, and you never really seemed to like him as much as he liked you. And then, you know, he got coronavirus. And she was like, well, that's what happened. It was really weird.
I don't think Chris particularly likes Colton that much. There's been some things that he said.
Really?
Kind of. Not necessarily offhanded remarks like that.
You think?
But I don't know. I don't think he was like crazy about Colton.
Well, what I
I'm
think
sure
was
running
weird,
away from the production.
Yeah, I think that pissed
through,
a lot of people off.
Yeah.
I think it was weird that just because, like, this is nothing against Cassie. She seems great. But, like, with being broken up from Colton, she doesn't really have any tie to like any bachelor related things. She's never, I mean, they obviously have been dating this whole time, so it's not like she's ever went to go be on Paradise or like ever has really involved herself in any other bachelor things.
Do you think when
and
Paradise
then did
returns,
not want to talk about her breakup? So
do you think when Paradise returns that it'll,
I don't think so, because it seems like her and Colton are still like kind of struggling a little, like, is to move through this breakup. She seems still to be pretty down about it. So
well,
I'm
saying that thinking that Paradise will be back till next year.
Oh, maybe next year, maybe.
So,
but the interview was really awkward, and I felt bad for Cassie after like watching her Instagram video about it, because she was like, this is so not what they told me, and she was really pissed about it.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. And she was like, we're not talking about why we broke up, which of course now everybody wants to know why, because she said that. But I thought it was weird that Chris hinted like, oh, because he got COVID and you were stuck together and you didn't really like him.
Yeah.
She was like, no. It was weird. I don't know. The whole thing was awkward. You could tell she was really uncomfortable. And then she was like, yeah, I'm nervous. And he was like, I can tell. And she was like, you can? And it was just, the whole thing was weird.
It was weird.
I didn't like it.
I will say, so that kind of brings us to like the halfway point of the episode.
Yeah.
Which I think proves that these can be done in 2 hours instead of 3.
Yes. I think we could get rid of half of the interviews that happened.
Yeah.
And half of the random little talks that Chris Harrison does in between every scene.
Yeah.
And it could be 2 hours.
Absolutely.
3 hours is so long for something that isn't actually new content.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So let's talk about Trista's season, our friend.
Yeah, so Trista was the runner-up, and it was kind of interesting because she actually didn't seem all that into Alex Michelle for a while.
No, she was just kind of like always around.
Like, she just didn't seem that into him, and then he got really sick on that date, and then I guess when they bonded over that, and I don't know, and I don't know, when he said goodbye to her, I guess that was the other thing that I thought was interesting, was, like, the goodbyes were so much less dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, for the most part, because usually it's, like, a really dramatic, like, goodbye, and it was really awkward because right as he broke up with her, Chris Harrison was standing right there to take her away. I thought that was so weird.
Yeah.
But then Trista became the first Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked, our friend who we had on the podcast a while ago, and she was great. She talked with us a little bit about her experiences as the Bachelorette. And we talked to her then, and then I talked a little bit last night about the double standard of how much I don't know, flack she was given for being the Bachelorette. It was like when the Bachelor was doing it, it was cool. He was going to date all these girls. But then when it was her, it was like, oh, that's slutty. Yeah. That she's going to date 20 men or 25 men. Like, oh, like she really wants to do that.
And there really couldn't have been a classier person to sort of lead the way and like be the godmother of the franchise that she is.
Yes, exactly. And Trista is great. And she's just so sweet and seems awesome. And I remember, I mean, obviously I didn't watch it, but I remember hearing that there was a lot more dramatics about her being the Bachelorette and about her sleeping with more than one, like two guys in the fantasy suite thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it being like a lot of slut shaming, I think, went on for her.
Yeah.
Which must have been hard. I mean, the first one, it's not like she had anyone else to really like be a mentor. Like now there's this huge kind of club of Bachelorettes that all kind of talk and rely on each other for support. And she didn't really have anyone to go to about this because Alex Michelle was the only person who had any experience doing this.
Yeah. I feel like they gave less time to Trista's season than they did to Alex's. I don't know if that's because like it was the very first one.
It did feel kind of rushed.
Yeah. So the things I picked up from her season, one, tons of hair gel.
So much hair gel.
Oh my gosh. The style really hadn't changed. We're still getting these oversized suits. I will say a lot of her dudes, like, I don't know, didn't strike me
more weird looking.
little. Yeah. I think like right now you get dudes with like guaranteed six packs, tons of muscles.
These were just a bunch of dudes.
Those are regular ass dudes.
Yeah.
Which I think is fine.
Yeah.
Cause it's all about personality.
Exactly.
It's and hair the beauty with it.
Personality and hair gel, yes.
We barely got any insight to some of these guys. I know we talked a little bit about, or they highlighted Jamie, who played basketball in Sweden for like
a
week, which is basically the equivalent of Colton's NFL career.
And then he was like, can I kiss you goodnight? And she was like, it's only the first date.
Yeah.
Which now, like, people never do that. But it's interesting that that was how it was back in the day.
Yeah. They touched on Greg, who has a tiny apartment
in New York City. Oh, yeah. She was really, like, offended by his small apartment.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to him, New York City,
I was going to say, and that probably tiny, tiny-ass apartment probably still cost him a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I will say that, like, if there was even a chance, like, when you left the show, why didn't you clean your apartment?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's small, which is, you know, fine, but it was a mess.
Yeah. So that, okay, that actually brings me back to...
I think that stressed her out more than the small apartment. If it would have been clean, I think she would have been like, oh, it's New York. But it was a disastrous apartment. It was so, so messy.
That brings me back to something that I noticed, perhaps didn't notice in the first season recap. When did they start doing hometowns?
Yeah,
they didn't really... meeting family hometowns.
That's a good
point. I don't think it happened in the first season. It looks like it didn't happen in this one.
Yeah, they didn't really talk about that.
Because that would have been interesting. And I think it was maybe strange that they just went to his apartment. I don't know how.
That was weird.
That precipitated.
Maybe their, I don't know. Was it like that their date happened, like they traveled to the city where, it seemed like the only place they went was Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, because they didn't travel the world like now they do. They probably feel a little shafted because now everyone's traveling the world and in their seasons, Vegas was like the big place they got to go.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm curious as to when that started and like why they wanted to do that. I think I'm sure it was for the dramatics of involving the family.
I think it's important too. Like I'm glad they do hometowns, but I would be interested to know where that all started.
Yeah.
Then Bob, who they didn't show a lot about.
Oh, I don't even remember Bob. So go ahead.
He was the curly hair guy who was kind of goofy and he was doing the dancing.
Oh, the kind of bigger dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he became the Bachelor.
Oh shit! Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He became the Bachelor, Bob Guinea. I think that's how you say his last name,
okay.
Bob Guinea. Yeah, he became the Bachelor in, let's see, what year would that have been? Whatever the year after that was. 2003 or 2003?
Her season was 2003, so probably 2004.
Yeah, he was the fourth season of The Bachelor, so I guess he wasn't right away.
So maybe 2005.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's, they gloss over him quickly, I would say.
Yeah. But yeah, he ended up being the Bachelor. So.
Yeah. The two people they really focused on, I feel like, were Charlie And I feel like she led him on a lot.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you, well, it was, what was weird for me was Charlie and Ryan were like the favorites. But yeah, at the beginning, she was like, I'm very into Charlie.
It all seemed like a Charlie.
And then she was like, Ryan's, you know, nice. Yeah. And like, she seemed like not that into Ryan. He was doing this poetry. And she was kind of like, at the beginning, she was kind of like, it was very sweet. But Charlie's super hot. Like, it seemed like she was very into Charlie. And then as it went on and on, it was like, oh, no, wait, she loves Ryan. And she's crying every time he read her a poem.
Yeah.
It definitely felt like she led Charlie on a little bit. I mean, Grant said there's no way to not lead someone on in this show.
This is true.
But it felt like she kind of flip-flopped. Like, I wonder where that shifted. But I think Charlie had expressed to her that he would be uncomfortable if she slept with Ryan in the fantasy suite.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, then you clearly wouldn't feel the same way about me.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, that's not really fair to ask, because when I'm with you, I don't think about him, but I'm with him, I don't think about you. Like, I have to give myself two relationships. And he pretty quickly was like, you're right. I didn't think about it like that. I respect you. You should do whatever you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good turnaround on that, yeah, I feel like, for him. It didn't paint like a negative light or anything. And then she said goodbye to Charlie, and she was pretty sad about it. I mean, she was pretty emotional saying goodbye,
yeah,
and he handled it really well.
He did. He did.
He was like, I want you to be happy.
Kind of a class act with it, which is good.
And then they showed him and his beautiful family, and which was great. I love, that's like my favorite part about this, is seeing like the people that, like, I mean, this has been years now,
yeah,
that are like living their lives with their kids and their families. And
I think I tweeted something to the effect, but like, I want to see Chris Harrison babysit all the babies at the same time.
Oh my God.
The Bachelor Nation. I think that would be a great show.
I bet he'd be a great babysitter.
Oh, he'd be so awesome. Because he loves just like saying, hey, sport, to those little kids.
Oh, he loves hopping those kids. And was it Charlie's daughter? He was like, see you in 23 years.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, we're in.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Were they the ones? No, it was someone else who was like, they wanted to take their now husband to see the Bachelor Mansion.
Oh, that
might have been Shannon.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
Because it was clearly like she hadn't talked to Chris Harrison or the show in freaking 20 years.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I have a favor. Me and my husband want to come tour the mansion. And like, it's not Chris Harrison's house.
Yeah.
Someone lives there.
This is almost like,
and then she's like, can my husband come on and you can invite him?
This is like saying to your ex, like, hey, I want to take you to this place that, or no, saying
really
to your
weird
current girlfriend,
yeah,
like, hey, I want to take you to this place that my ex and I really
But
loved.
Not, because that they didn't use the mansion.
This is true, yeah, yeah.
Actually, so it's even weirder, because it's not like that's where they spent their time. Like, if you saw the beginning where they showed the house or whatever,
yeah,
this, the Bachelor Mansion that is now the Bachelor Mansion wasn't that during these seasons.
Yeah.
I wonder when that became the Bachelor Mansion.
I don't know. A lot of history that we
so
need to brush
history
up on.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so it ends up being Ryan. Very heartwarming proposal.
Oh man, yeah,
that little,
she gets you
a little tear in my eye.
And she was so like, from her speech and just the way she was looking at him, like, wow,
you could tell
she's so in love with him.
Yeah.
And like, which I mean, it was even five, it was only 5 weeks, it was way less time than it even is now.
Yeah.
And but also what was really interesting is she was 30 at the time of being the Bachelorette, like,
right. Oh yeah,
I which mean, is I mean not
I guess
no means old, but
yeah,
it's kind of older for the Bachelorette. I mean, she was 30 when she was doing this.
Yeah, now they're kind of shooting mid early 20s.
Usually, I mean, and obviously Claire is about to be, you know, she's 30, what, eight?
Eight.
Yeah.
39 now, actually.
But at the time, I mean, from then to now, usually Bachelorettes have all been like 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting that she was already like 30. So she was kind of like, let's get the show on the road. Like, I like Ryan. And then they did a televised wedding.
Yeah.
The first of Bachelor history.
Which got 20 million people.
20 million people. That's wild.
So I compared it to Harry and Meghan Markle's.
Mm-hmm.
And that had 29.1 million.
Really?
So, I mean,
wow, that's a lot, though, for it being that long ago. And the best thing is that they're still together. They have children that are, I mean, I don't even know, how old do you think their kids are? They're not little.
Seven,
I mean, they're probably a little bit older.
Oh, yeah, probably, like, one's maybe 11.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was like, hey, Dad, or something like that.
Well, he was like, hey, Peanut, or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Like,
well, then Trista, you know, came on, and obviously they're still together. It's been, whatever, 17, 18 years. And Chris was talking to Trista, and she's so grateful for, like, the whole thing. And she has, like, been coined the godmother of the franchise.
Yeah.
And all the Bachelorettes, like, look up to her. I mean, she had the original kind of love story from this franchise.
Yeah.
And then Chris surprised her by having Ryan, who's at like a firefighter training thing in Denver.
Yeah.
Surprised her to come on, and she started crying, and he was just saying all these wonderful things about her, and it's just so nice.
Yeah.
They're still together.
I feel like they like to prop her story up as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
A, it's a success, and B, like, it was, you know, one of the early ones.
It was the first success. I bet it was Alex Michelle's season was probably like, all right, let's give it another try. And Trista's season, I bet, honestly, probably catapulted it even more.
I can believe that.
Because for people to get to watch a success, see them have a televised wedding, like, I bet that catapulted the series even more than his season did.
Yeah. Okay, so what are your superlatives for these seasons?
Oh, no, I don't know.
You didn't think about it?
I don't know.
You had one job, Allison.
I know, it's weird because usually I can do it based on the seasons actually because I watch them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would say
the most interesting clothes.
Yeah, well, worst dress. Say that.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice, but okay. The outfits with the sweaters of like Trista wearing like almost a matching sweater to Alex Michelle was hilarious.
Yeah. Trista's season, I feel like it kind of just felt like the most poised.
Okay.
Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay.
I'd say that makes sense. I mean, it was interesting because it was like there was not a lot of drama in the beginning of this whole franchise.
Yeah.
Because obviously some of the drama is for TV and we all know that, but people started learning how the show works and like that you kind of have to bring some sort of edge to like get the time on TV.
There were no real crazies.
Even when people stole each other, it wasn't that dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that serious.
No.
But the crazies came out later. We'll see more of those.
Which, honestly, I think the crazies are good for at least our viewing pleasure.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What's good for everyone's pleasure is...
Oh, my God.
...is staying connected with us.
Yes. Follow us on social media. We are at BatchPleasePod on Twitter and Instagram. Or you can shoot us an email at BatchPleasePod@gmail.com.
Yep.
Let us know your thoughts or what you're thinking about the greatest seasons of all time. And next week, we have, I know you have no idea who this is, Brad Womack.
Isn't it 2 weeks?
Or sorry, yes. In 2 weeks, we have Brad Womack, who was The Bachelor twice.
How did that happen? I guess I'll learn.
So he was The Bachelor twice, and famously the first time, did not propose to anyone, broke up with both of his final people, and then they gave him another chance to be The Bachelor.
What a shrewd move.
Yeah, so they gave him another chance. So it'll be interesting to see. I know what happens. It'll be interesting for you to see how that all shook out.
Okay.
And it's also interesting that Chris Harrison himself said the sexiest bachelor of all time in the preview.
Whoa.
I personally don't know if that's true, but I guess...
Who is?
We'll tune in 2 weeks. I don't know. I need to put a lot more thought into that.
Okay. I'll
report back on that.
That's fair. This does require a full...
Yeah, I need to put like a whole chart together.
Research.
Yeah. But 2 weeks, we'll be back to talk about Brad Womack's, both of his seasons.
Okay.
And that will be super new to Evan because that is dramatically before Evan's time. And yeah, and we'll go from there. I'm going to try to do some more digging into some of the questions we have about the mansion.
Do that. Yeah.
And the hometowns.
We should really provide better information.
We're going to do some digging. We're going to do some digging into the Bachelor history. We'll report back.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Bye.